gospel content left the ministry a portion of their estate in their will. And when they passed away, the ministry received those funds. And we made the decision to turn it into as much Bible teaching content as we possibly could. And so this was the concept that we came up with, and going to Israel and filming. I guess we probably, between five of us that were on camera, filmed at least a dozen different kinds of projects. And then we did some special projects on the side beyond that. And they're still ongoing, the editing and all those kinds of things, and they won't all be released at once. One of the things we did that will be released probably first of all was a prophecy conference in Israel. And so each one of us spoke on a different topic related to Israel and Bible prophecy. And that'll be one of the first things that gets produced. And I did mine on Petra, at Petra, which was a really cool place to be. And I'll show you those pictures. And so I was able to turn my book, Fake Jesus, into two different Bible teaching studies. One was called Jesus, God, or Fraud. And that just walks through the different places and really questions, was Jesus really God or a fake? And then I also did the series on fake Jesus, the Santa Claus fake Jesus, and all the others, teaching through those in the land of Israel at different sites. And there were many other projects that were done. I may touch on some of them. One of the guys that went with us is big into Bible archaeology. He's got an advanced degree in Bible archaeology. And he was going with just real quick 3 to 5 minute videos each place we went, just describing why it's archaeologically significant and how history is backing up God's Word. A couple other Bible teachers who went with us, and just a whole spectrum of wonderful things. And I look forward to being able to share all those kinds of things with you guys as time goes on. But let's get into this. And there were some places that we went, I just, for the sake of time, as I began to put slides together, I said, man, we'll be here forever. So I want to try to speed through this and do it justice, but at the same time go rather quickly through it all. So let me just start with the team. So this was us in Atlanta before we went, and it's a little bit washed out. I apologize for that. But I'm not in the picture because I took this picture, but that's Micah Van Hus, his brother Clayton. He's the one that does a lot of archaeology. Pastor Larry Spargimino, he's with their ministry. He's been with us, Southwest Radio, for about 25 years. He's 82 or 83 years old, and he was right there with us every step of the way. And Edward Weber's our director of operations. His grandfather started Southwest Radio Ministries 90 years ago. And Matthew Hill's our CEO. Larry Stamm, he's a Jewish follower of Jesus, wonderful Christian man and preacher. And he had a couple of series that he did. He did one called Pilgrimage to Zion, and talking through the steps of Jesus. And he said, if you study your Bible, you see that Zion is Jesus. And everywhere that you see Zion, you need to think Jesus, because that's what it's pointing to. It's pointing to Jesus. You see, it wasn't the promised land that they were coming to. It was a promised person. It was the person of Jesus Christ. So he talks about the pilgrimage to Jesus, the pilgrimage to Zion. Then we got our film. Oops, wrong button. Well, let's just go with that. Yeah. Okay. There's our film crew. Joe and Ben and Matt, three guys from the Greenville, South Carolina area. They did a wonderful job. They really went above and beyond. They have a ministry, and they do a lot of Christian things. And if you're ever in the Greenville, South Carolina area, there's a theater called the Logos or Logos Theater, and they do a lot of Christian productions, stage productions. They also do a lot of video and film kinds of things too. And so they do a wonderful job. All right, so this was all 12 of us. So we were in Atlanta, then we went up to Newark, New Jersey, and we met the other guys. Mark Lindstedt here lives in Wichita, Kansas, and he helped us coordinate a lot of things. He takes several trips each year to Israel, and he helped us with a lot of coordination. Pastor Bill Edwards is from New York City. He went with us to help us with a lot of logistics and other things too. They met the 10 of us met the other two there. So it was 12 disciples going to Israel. I don't know if that sounds familiar or not. But so this is in the airport in Jerusalem, the airport in Tel Aviv, Israel, coming in. And this is just a close-up over here on this screen. Some of these are... All right, so we went first up north, We stayed in this northern region. This is the Sea of Galilee, and the Jordan River flows down. The Jordan River separates Israel on the left and the country of Jordan on the right. And so the Jordan River down to the Dead Sea. So we started out up here north. We flew into Tel Aviv and went up north. We started out in Acre. And, of course, we had to get something to eat right away. And this was the typical kind of meal. I mean, they had the table already set up. We just went and sat down. This is like their version of fast food in some ways. And they had stuff on the table like hummus and other kinds of dips. And they kept bringing out main meats and things like that. They brought out lamb and fish and just all kinds of stuff. It was delicious. And then we went on to this fortress and we began filming there. Michael went first, and you can sort of see some of the things that we went to. I apologize. I know there's a little bit of overlap on the side, but here in a little bit, we'll just go to single photos. But this was the fortress at Acre. It was a medieval fortress, and it was a beautiful building. Then it was right on the coastline here. This is the Mediterranean Sea opening up and part of the fortress that was there. Then we went on to Netanya, which is right here on the coastline. You can tell how beautiful it is. Very modern-looking city, very beautiful place. And we stayed close by that. We stayed there one night. Then we went over into Caesarea Maritima, and which is right here in between Netanya and Haifa on the coastline. This was the place where the Apostle Paul was last known to be in Israel. And I've got a video. I didn't put the video in here just for the sake of time, but the steps that they've uncovered, it went down underneath this palace. There's an ancient swimming pool right on the Mediterranean Ocean where Paul probably would have went and talked to the leaders, Herod Agrippa and some of those other guys. And they would have kept him in that place and then brought him out from there when he appealed to Caesar and took him by ship to go to Rome. And so we were at Caesarea, and this is Pastor Larry here on the left. And Joe, and setting up one of his Bible teaching spots. And then we're right outside this structure here, which is an ancient amphitheater with a modern stage set up. They just had a concert there the night before, and there's all these empty cups laying around, and people were milling through, picking up things. So this was early in the morning when we were there. We got there right when they opened. We actually pulled in the parking lot before 8 a.m., and they opened at 8 a.m. and went right in. Then from there, we went to Megiddo, which is also close by. It's up north in here. And so this green that you can see, pretty much from the coastline, Caesarea was right in here below Haifa. Down, this is Nazareth here. All this green right in here is part of what we would call the Valley of Armageddon or Megiddo. It's also called the Valley of Jehoshaphat. It goes pretty much from the Mediterranean on the west over to the Jordan River and close to the Sea of Galilee. Actually, it takes a turn down into Jerusalem. Part of it does. So we went to Megiddo next and did filming on several different projects there. You can't read it from there, but it says here, from Megiddo to Armageddon, just a little history of the place. And this is looking out across the valley, and you can see how wide this whole valley is down through here. These are some ancient ruins that were there as well. That's Larry Stamm doing teaching. This is up on the very top pinnacle of Megiddo, and you're looking out across down below him. All this is part of that valley of what we would say the Valley of Armageddon. It's very wide and flat down in there. There's growing all kinds of crops in there right now. Date palms are all over the place. They got banana plantations, all kinds of produce and things going on there. But, you know, this is probably the most famous valley in all the world. When we think about Bible prophecy and we think about what's going to happen and what this valley will become one day when Christ returns and what we see him doing and accomplishing as he brings in his kingdom and as he returns as the ruler in this place. So it goes on around to the left. That looks towards the Mediterranean. And as you pan around, it continues and it takes like a dog leg back down towards Jerusalem. And so this picture, and that's Matt, he did a lot of B-roll, and so he's walking around with a still camera getting all kinds of footage all over the place. Again, some ancient ruins that were there. This was actually a place where they bred horses way back in ancient times, you know, before Christ, and they got a name and a reputation for that. And so we're standing up on Mount Megiddo, looking at some of the ancient ruins. But the valley continues to go down towards Jerusalem on this side here. Then we went into Nazareth. I talked about Nazareth on Wednesday night. I do have a few pictures. So Nazareth is right here, close to that Valley of Armageddon, still in northern Israel. And again, Nazareth is just sort of an out-of-the-way place. You're not on the beautiful coastline. Caesarea is such a beautiful city. Netanya, a beautiful city. And then, you know, you've got the Sea of Galilee, which we're going to see in a minute. Beautiful places. But Nazareth is just sort of stuck in the middle and just a out-of-the-way place. And as I said Wednesday night, Jesus came to Nazareth. Jesus of Nazareth. He wasn't Jesus of Galilee or Jesus of Jerusalem, but Jesus of Nazareth. And he came to the lowest of the low, the poorest of the poor. And that's a good spiritual lesson for all of us, that he wants us. He wants to be identified with us. Wants to transform us into something that we are not. As Nathaniel said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And still to this day, it's not the most beautiful, it's not the most picturesque, although it's a beautiful place in some respects. It was still litter all over the place, trash all over the place. It wasn't the best smelling, and pigeon poop all over the place, as I said Wednesday night. And so you can see as we go through here. So this is just a side-by-side of walking up the narrow sidewalks. We had to walk single file. The businesses, I mean, are right on the street, and cars are coming through. People park on the sidewalks there, too. It wasn't uncommon. So if you're even on the sidewalk, you have to watch your back to make sure a car doesn't pull up right behind you. And so we were walking to eat. It seemed like a lot of things were revolved around eating, but walking to get some lunch. And this is the sign there. It says Nazareth in English down here. And then we see here, there's an old tire and just some trash laying around, this beautiful pomegranate tree. And these are pomegranates growing on this tree. And it sort of looks like oranges, but very beautiful. This is on Mount Precipice. It's a mountain close to Nazareth. There's a story in the scripture where Jesus came through the crowd, wanted to cast him off the cliff, and he walks back through them. Most likely, this is the very spot where that took place, because there's a cliffside. It's right near Nazareth. And so this is most likely where that event took place in Scripture. It's up on top of this mountain. Like I said, the cliffside is there. You can see 360 degrees all around you from on top of this mountain. At this point, I'm looking back over the village of Nazareth. And I did a Bible teaching close by where I took this picture on camera. And it was basically, you know, talking about Jesus of Nazareth. How do we know Jesus really existed? How do we know Jesus wasn't just a figment of somebody's imagination? And talked about the historical evidence that we have for the existence of Jesus while standing in this spot. This is another view of the same place looking over the village of Nazareth. And another view looking down back towards the other direction. And this is a hotel kind of building. People have asked what structure is that. I think it's a modern hotel that's built there. So we stayed in Tiberias. Tiberias is right on the coast of the Sea of Galilee. And so I've got some shots of the Sea of Galilee coming up mainly. And beautiful, beautiful sunrises over the Sea of Galilee. Of course, we were getting up. My alarm went off about 5:15 every morning. And the sun comes up around 6 o'clock each morning over there, something like that. So we got some beautiful sunrise pictures. This is the Sea of Galilee, looking out over it. This is a sunrise picture there at the Sea of Galilee. And then a couple other sunrises coming up. But just beautiful place there, Sea of Galilee. Yeah, and you know, Jesus walked on the water here. It stretches out. It doesn't look very wide right here, and it's not very wide. It's like a lake, you know. It's a lot like a lake. But it does stretch from north to south quite a ways, and right where we were, it wasn't very wide, but other places it gets very wide across, and you can't see from shore to shore. And so, you know, there's so much that happened on this body of water. A lot of Jesus' ministry happened around this place, because he was from Nazareth, and he would come down to these villages and these cities around the region of Galilee. That's where he was from. Next, we went to Tel Dan, which is about as far north in Israel as you can go without crossing into Syria and other countries. So we were right up in this very northern region called Tel Dan. A tell is like a hill. I think of it like a layer cake, and each time you slice it, you get a different layer. So in ancient times, they would destroy a city, and they would tear down the walls and tear it flat. Then they would build another city right on top of that. Then somebody would come through and destroy that one and build another one and destroy it. So they dig down through these layers. That's what they call these tells. It's like a layer cake, and the further down you go, the further you can find ancient ruins and ancient civilizations. So Dan, of course, is owned by the tribe of Dan, or it was the allotment to the tribe of Dan. And so on the left here, as we go on, these are the headwaters of the Jordan River. It's a very big, what we would call a creek, you know, rushing water flowing fast through this body of water. And this is the dry season over there. Everything was arid and dry, but this water stays there. Just constant, steady source of water. This is a beautiful pool of water. When we went through in the morning hours, nobody was there. When we came through about noontime, it was filled with kids, you know, jumping in the water, playing around in the puddles, just a shallow wading pool right there, Tel Dan Nature Preserve. And this is a Canaanite city that actually predates Abraham. I mean, it's like 5,000 plus years old and it's still standing there. There's a gate. I did not get a picture of this gate. I can't believe I didn't, but it's in some of the filming and stuff that we do. And I did some filming right there too. But it's called Abraham's Gate. And they think that Abraham would have walked right through here as he's coming into the Promised Land. And there's some archaeological evidence to back that up. This is looking out across the mountain. You know, Abraham would have walked through here and seen these mountains as he's deciding which way the Lord would have him to go and journeying by faith with the Lord and coming across these very things. Now, Pastor Brad mentioned this verse, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And Jesus took his disciples up here, again, around the same area where we were around Tel Dan. And this is actually the gates of hell, what they would refer to as a ancient temple to the god Pan. And the story goes that inside the mouth of this cave, there used to be water that ran through there. An earthquake happened, and the water doesn't run through there anymore. But the people, the ancients, used to be frightened by this cave. It was very mysterious and mystical, and people would throw stones in the water to hear it hit the bottom, and they could never hear it hit the bottom. And so they called it a bottomless pit. And they considered it to be the gateway to the underworld, that it must go all the way down into hell. And so they called this the gates of hell. And so could it be that Jesus was standing around this region and talking about this and saying, the gates of hell will not prevail against my church. Not even. And there was a lot of wicked things that happened at this place before Jesus. I mean, child sacrifice, all kinds of things. They had a goat shrine there. And they had the ancient places where they would store the stone or the bones of the goats that they had sacrificed. It was all kinds of wicked stuff went on here in the names of false gods. And there's a close-up of this mouth. And it does look like a mouth that would swallow somebody up. Sort of ominous-looking cave entrance. And this is stepping back. And you can see some of the other ancient ruins that they found from Greco-Roman times as well, part of the shrine that was there to this false god. Then we went near Masada, and again, we're still up north here in this northern region up above the Sea of Galilee. And all these windmills and things, and some of the modern things, the woke things that we see happening in America are happening there. And actually, these things are killing the honeybees, which are influencing the crops of the local people, and they're very upset. And our God said, it's the kind of people that aren't going to wait for bureaucrats to decide. They may go out there and take matters into their own hands. But the people who live in this area are very upset because it's messing up their crops and things. And so this was an ancient structure here. This is looking over into Syria and regions beyond. The Six-Day War occurred close by here. And we did some Bible teaching. And Pastor Larry was preaching about the state of Israel, the nation of Israel, God's plan and God's purpose for Israel, and doing a lot of teaching from right here. And just looking out across the countryside, I had a little bit of fun staring into an Israeli, there you go, a tank, and you're staring right into the battle or the barrel of the tank there. That's Joe, he's doing some filming, but and that's the tanks that were there. And I got inside of the Israeli tank, but... Got to have a little bit of fun when you're doing all these things. So, yeah. Then we went to what's considered the Mount of Beatitudes, where Jesus gave that Sermon on the Mount. And we also went to the village of Capernaum. And Capernaum is here on the northern side of the Sea of Galilee. So we were right around this area where it's believed that Jesus gave the Sermon on the Mount. And let anyone who thirsts comes to me and drink. Whoever believes that he is, as Scripture says, rivers of water flow from within, John 7:37. This is just a church. The Roman Catholic Church owns and controls this property, as they do a lot of the quote-unquote holy sites in Israel. And we were able to get in there in the early morning hours this next day. You'll see these kinds of signs, and some places you have to have what they call a modesty kit. You know, women can't have their shoulders showing, has to be covered. They'll give you something to cover up most of the time if you're not in knee length or down below the knee, any kind of skirt or shorts or whatever else. And so this was one of those places, and where they have, you know, modesty kits required and that kind of thing. Just to show you some of the life of what it's like in Israel today. This is at Capernaum. We tried to come in here to film, and we had permits, and we had what we needed, we thought. But the people that day just decided they didn't want us to go inside there and film, so that we didn't get to. But I was able to take some pictures. And this is all from the first century that they've uncovered here. Peter actually lived in Capernaum, and they found the ruins for Peter's house. And they know exactly where it was. And there's an ancient synagogue right here. This white stone is built on top of a black bedrock. Underneath, which was a first century synagogue that most likely Jesus would have gone to, right near Peter's house. That's Pastor Larry and myself sitting outside there. But you see this like dome shape, we called it a UFO looking building. The Roman Catholic Church has built this right on top of the ruins of Peter's house. And so where Peter lived was right underneath that structure. Unfortunately, we weren't able to film there. But we did get lunch close by there in Capernaum. And they have St. Peter's fish, which is also a fancy name for tilapia. And so I ordered that. When you're in Rome, you got to be in Rome. So it was actually, this was probably one of the best things that I ate when I was in Israel. It was delicious. It tasted like fried chicken. You know, got that crispy skin, the juicy meat on the inside. Everybody's going to run down to Bojangles after church, get a bucket of fried chicken. But this was delicious. And you can tell I ate the whole thing, except for the head. I didn't eat the head, I don't think. But everything else was good about it, yeah. So then we went to Mount Arbel. This was one of the most beautiful places in my mind. I don't know if you all have ever been on top of Roan Mountain here in East Tennessee, but you get up to a certain area and no trees really grow up there, and it's just scrub brush, and you can see 360 degrees all around you. That's what it's like on top of Mount Arbel. And it's right here overlooking the Sea of Galilee. And when it talks about Jesus going up into a mountain, when he's around the area of Galilee, most likely it would be around this region of Mount Arbel. That's the closest mountain. It's a pinnacle overlooking the Sea of Galilee. Many people believe that Jesus gave the Great Commission to his disciples from up on top of this mountain. And so this is the Sea of Galilee from on top of Mount Arbel, looking down on part of the Sea of Galilee. These are villages all around here that Jesus would have been in and preached at and given the Great Commission, looking out over these villages. Go into all the world, you can hear him say, and preach the gospel. And here's another view. It was just absolutely breathtaking. The wind was constantly blowing up there. Of course, no wind barrier when you're up on top of the mountain like that. Just to give you a little perspective, I'm a little ways away from Larry Stamm, and the guys are filming him doing some Bible teaching up on top of there. There's a picture of me while I was showing you I actually did some stuff other than take pictures and walk around. But no, doing some Bible teaching up on top of there. It was just a fascinating place to be. This is looking back in another direction from that mountain range, Mount Arbel. Then later that same day, we went to Magdala. And you've heard of Mary Magdalene. She was Mary from Magdala, we would say. So Jesus, as he would leave Nazareth, and as he's coming down towards Galilee, Tiberias and Magdala is just slightly north of Tiberias. So the way the mountains are, he would have come down through this valley from Nazareth. The first place he would arrive when he comes to the Sea of Galilee would be Magdala. And they uncovered a first century synagogue. And this site really caught me by surprise. One of the guys wanted to go there, and that's why we went. And none of the rest of us really grasped it until we actually stepped foot in this place, how special that it is. And so they've uncovered a first century synagogue, and this is the ruins of this first century synagogue. And they're, you know, 99% sure or more that Jesus was here, and he worshiped here, and he preached here in this place. And that just blew me away, and all the team, and it still does. It just gives me chills thinking about being in that place and getting to see that firsthand. And this is looking back the opposite direction of this previous picture. So I just went to my right and took another picture, looking out over some of the other ancient ruins. There was house structures and other places that were uncovered there as well. So, as I said, you know, they would tear down one structure and build something else on top of it. This is a mosaic from, you know, 400 to 600 A.D. after Christ. And it's still ancient mosaic that's been uncovered, but as they dug down deeper, they found the first century structure underneath this. So they preserved part of this. It's still old, but it wasn't the first century. And so they preserved some of that too. But this is the first century level here. And this stoop is what the teacher of the synagogue would stand on as he would teach in that place. You know, you talk about preachers standing still, you know, they would have to stand on this little, you know, 2-foot by 2-foot little structure. I mean, you got to stay in one place and stand there and read. And so whether or not this was the actual one Jesus stood on, it, you know, is unsure. But most likely Jesus worshipped in this place and would have stood on something like that as he stood to speak. And I got to stand close by there and read the scriptures and talk about how that Jesus is God. And he claimed to be God and he proved to be God. And standing right in those places preaching those things was remarkable. By the way, I had 4 of these shirts. I'm not just wearing this anymore. They wanted to keep things consistent, so I had to buy 4 of the same shirts. And if you see me wearing that shirt, don't say, "He always wears the same shirt every time." I got 4 of the same shirts now. I don't know what to do with them. So, anyways, got to stand there and share how we know Jesus is God. It was just one of the really highlights of the whole trip. This is another picture of the same thing. You can see some mosaics here as well. There's tour groups. There are tour groups all over the place. And we got to interact with some of the same groups. We would pop up in one city and they'd be there and be like, "Hey, you're the guys from..." We met people from Tennessee. We met people from Kentucky. We met people from all over the place. People from Germany were there as well that we kept bumping into. This was a road structure. Can you imagine Jesus walking up this road coming towards that synagogue as he's coming in? Coming down, Nazareth would be over here. Coming down through the mountains, the Sea of Galilee would be right over here. You can almost see the Sea of Galilee from there, coming down this ancient road into that city. It's just mind-blowing to think about. Then we left out of Galilee. We went towards Jerusalem. And Qumran is here on the Dead Sea, on the northern banks, this western side of the Dead Sea. And the Dead Sea Scrolls were found in this place, which... a community lived here called the Essenes, and I'm going to try to speed through this, but the Essenes lived there, and they preserved God's Word. The Isaiah scroll was found in Cave 4. Let me just go ahead and this was Cave 4. I mean, this little hole right there is a cave down inside, and that's where it just so happened that somebody found these structures, or excuse me, these ancient scrolls, and I could get into the story, but I just don't have time for all of that. And so God preserved his word through here, and it matches up to the text that we have to this day. And it was written from about 100 B.C., going back to maybe 200 to 300 B.C. before Christ. And it was tucked away, lost to the sands of time until about 50, 60, 70 years ago now when they were uncovered, and then they went through the process of being archived and figured out exactly what this is over the last 20, 30 years. And this just shows you some of the, and that's that same Cave 4 and some of the other cliff structures, cave structures, this big mountain range. We're right on the coast of the Dead Sea. This out here is the Dead Sea. You can barely catch a glimpse of it on the horizon. That's the Dead Sea. You know, when Jesus talked about the millstone, it would be better that a millstone be hung around their neck and be cast into the sea than to offend the little ones. Talking about anyone who would deceive kids, anyone that would hurt kids, lead kids astray. This is a millstone from the first century. That's just what Jesus was talking about. You know, some people say, gentle Jesus, meek and mild. He never stirred the pot, you know. He was easygoing. Well, he said, tie one of these around your neck and jump into the sea if you were going to mislead a child or mistreat a child. That's Pastor Larry pointing to it. He did a Bible teaching segment right there talking about that very thing, the millstones around the neck. So you can get some perspective on exactly how large that is compared to him. Then we went to Jericho. Jericho is one of the cities that's under Palestinian control. We had an Israeli guide, and there's these red street signs that say, basically, Israeli citizens enter at your own risk kind of thing. And so our guide would get off the bus, and then either another guide would hop on with us, or we would go because we had some relationships with people that we had with us already in those places, like Mark and others that were with us. So we went into Jericho, and we were welcomed. You can't really tell from there. These are peacocks, just wild peacocks roaming around Jericho. And beautiful date palm trees, lots of dates over there this time of year. And here's the walls of Jericho, the ancient walls that tell Jericho. The walls came tumbling down. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. I said, since my name's Joshua, I need to go out here and march around a couple times. I didn't get the time and chance to do that. We were, you know, on a mission, so a lot of times it was just snap a picture. Oh, wow, that's cool. Let's get back in the bus and go to the next place. Because, you know, all this, we started at Qumran, then we went up to Jericho. We had lunch in Jericho. It's called the lowest place on earth, 1,300 feet below sea level, over 10,000 years old. Then right after lunch, we went to Shiloh as we made our way towards Jerusalem. And this is where they've uncovered what they believe. So I wish I could park it and talk about all these things for a long time, but let me just talk about this for just a second, because this is recent. This is very significant. So when you talk about the time of Samuel, Samuel was a boy, and his mom came to Shiloh. The tabernacle was set up in Shiloh, in this place, and right here, right around this very region, is where the tabernacle was set up, and the Holy of Holies was here. The Ark of the Covenant was here. All these things were right here at Shiloh for about 300 years until David came along, and then he established Jerusalem as the capital, and Solomon came along and built the temple and moved the Ark of the Covenant from Shiloh into Jerusalem. But in recent years, they actually, this past summer, they were digging more right here in this area, and it fits perfectly with the dimensions of the holy place and the Holy of Holies, according to the dimensional measurements. And so that's their theory they're working off of right now, that could this be exactly where the Holy of Holies was and the holy place, all right here in the tabernacle set up there. There's a bone depository close by with the sacrificial kinds of animals that they would have used for Israeli worship. And so it's very plausible. And this is all at Shiloh. This is a visitor center they got set up there at Shiloh. It looks like a UFO again. But, yeah. So then we went into Jerusalem. This is just a classic. I'm standing on the Mount of Olives, looking down towards the east. That's the eastern gate right there. And of course, here's the old city of Jerusalem, walled off there. And classic, iconic look at Jerusalem. This is our guide, Eli. Israeli Christian Eli, he, wonderful God, wonderful Christian, very knowledgeable man, loves the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. And this is part of the Garden of Gethsemane. And there's different olive groves all around this hillside on the Mount of Olives. And, you know, which one Jesus went to? Well, he could have gone to all of them. You know, we don't know. And so this just shows you the kinds of olive trees and the olive grove around the Garden of Gethsemane and part of those things. There's a private Garden of Gethsemane that they won't let anybody into, hardly at all. And this is part of the public one that I'm taking pictures of here. We did a lot of Bible teaching right around this spot. I did especially. This was part of my longest stay. We started about 7 o'clock in the morning when I took that picture of me. That iconic overlook of the city is about 7 o'clock in the morning. And I was in this place pretty much to about 5 o'clock in the evening, just filming all day long. That's the Eastern Gate there. Let me go back to that for just a second. So this old wall, the old city wall, this was not the wall that was in the time of Jesus. So Jesus wouldn't have gone through this gate. That city was destroyed by the Romans in 70 AD. But then Later on, they built another wall. It's still an ancient wall, but it's not the one Jesus walked through or anything like that. But this was another precious place to me. These are first century steps. This was at the house of Caiaphas. So in Mark 14, when Jesus is standing before him, Caiaphas asks him, "Are you the Messiah?" And Jesus says, "I am." Then he refers back to an Old Testament prophecy out of the book of Daniel. And he's standing literally on these steps. And we know that this happened at this place, that Jesus was actually standing on these very steps, walking up to Caiaphas' house. Right over to the right is a courtyard, and they have a memorial and a statue built where Peter denied that he knew Jesus. And that's set up right there. But the focus for me was about these steps and knowing that Jesus would have come. So if the picture continued on, you're coming across the Mount of Olives, coming down the Kidron Valley, coming up another hill, and up these steps here to Caiaphas' house. These are just some candids. You know, what does it look like when you're going around Jerusalem? There's guards and soldiers inside of here with their weapons. They always have their weapons at hand. Just life in Jerusalem. And it's just, again, this is going through. There's like a bunch of candy and stuff here all piled out for people. Now, this is a unique place in the old city. So the Eastern Gate is on this same level. This is the Damascus Gate. And this one down here was from the first century. So Jesus and his disciples would have gone through this very gate to go inside the old city of Jerusalem, the Damascus Gate here. So you've got an old one, yes, but an even older one. So it shows you how the different levels of separation there between the old city. This is the same view a little bit later at nighttime. Beautiful place. And again, this just reveals some of the structure, the layers that are there, the ancient bedrock and then the old city wall built upon it. This was the very next morning we went back to the Eastern Gate, and I was standing literally right underneath the Eastern Gate looking up at it. This is looking back across. This is the Mount of Olives here, sunrise coming up over it. And Jesus said, you know, stand upon the Mount of Olives, and you can see that sunlight, the sun, S-O-N, of God, shining brightly across as the sun is hitting this wall first thing in the morning, and the sunrise coming up over the Mount of Olives. A beautiful place. Just some more of that. This is the Pool of Bethesda, where the man was laying for 38 years, waiting for the angel to trouble the water and wanting somebody to put him in. Archaeology has recently uncovered these ancient. There was a series of five porches that were there, and this man would have been there. That miracle would have taken place there on the Sabbath day. Jesus was there on the Sabbath on purpose because he had a miracle in mind. This is where he healed that man and touched him, the Pool of Bethesda, beautiful place. This was going into another Palestinian place, and I know I'm running out of time, so I'll try to hurry through all this. But this was in Bethlehem, and they had some Christmas trees there in Bethlehem, so I did a little Christmas segment while I was there. But this is looking out over the shepherd's fields. These fields were the shepherd's fields, where the shepherds were keeping their flock at night. And the angel of the Lord came unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. This is where those shepherds would have been, out in these fields. And we got to stand there, and I was reading from Luke chapter 1 and Luke chapter 2, and talking about the shepherds, and how Jesus was born, and how it was prophesied that he would be born in Bethlehem. And here he was fulfilling that prophecy, born in Bethlehem. This was one of those occasions where we had another guide jump on the bus with us, and we ate a bite of lunch, and then they said, "Oh, come into the shop." So we obliged them, and I guess sort of the price of doing business, come look at this shop, come look at all, and they had some beautiful things in there, but some very expensive things too. $500, $1,000, you know. It's like, okay, where's your dollar section? Where's the Dollar Tree around here? You know, that's where I need to be shopping. But so they were very nice, very friendly people. And by the way, you know, we hear about the Palestinians and the Jews fighting back and forth, but every time we interacted with, whether it be Jewish people, Palestinian people, they were all very welcoming, very friendly. The people who ran the store that we went into in Bethlehem were Christians, believers in Jesus, who were Palestinian, who lived in Bethlehem. And they said, "Our family has been here for generation after generation after generation." You know, some of the political leaders, and there are some crazies that are out there, just like there are here. They're stirring up a lot of the violence that we hear about. But we never were really in a danger zone or anything like that. This is Bethlehem, the shepherd's fields near Bethlehem. That's the city of Bethlehem. Now, this is a place that, you know, if I ever got into any kind of little bit of trouble, this was the only time, but not right here. And I'll tell you more about this place. Let me just tell you the story about behind it. So we're coming back after we came to Bethlehem. It's you know, probably about 5 or 6 o'clock in the evening. You know, we've been going all day long. And this was the last stop. And there's all kinds of police vehicles. There's quarantines. And you can tell that roads are blocked off. Our guide gets back on with us after coming back after Bethlehem. And he says there's been a stabbing. I think 2 Jewish people were stabbed by a Muslim. And the police stopped him. And right outside the Jaffa Gate, which was just up above all of this. And so he just said, you know, me and Josh and one of the film guys are going to get off here. Everybody else is just going to go on back to the hotel instead of trying to stop the bus and everybody get off and go around. And so I looked back at him. I was like, are you okay to get off here? And he's like, yeah, I'm good if you are. So let's go do it. I want to go to this place. And so this was one of the places I really wanted to go to. Archaeology uncovered this. You can tell a difference in the color if you look real close. Now, I've got a few pictures, so it may be a little bit better on some of my other pictures. You can tell how it's sort of grayish up here. And it's more light tan. So there was dirt and everything else until about the 70s, and they began to dig down and they uncovered this. And this would be the governor's mansion there in the old city of Jerusalem. And so these are first century steps that would have led up to this. So when Pilate was trying Jesus, Jesus would have walked up these steps to go to Pilate and stand trial before Pilate. Now, there was an inner court and an outer court. And Pilate would come out here and talk to the people. And this is where they would be gathered shouting, crucify him, crucify him. And, you know, we're certain that this is exactly where those events took place, that these steps would have led up to Pilate's palace. It's just a closer up. And I got to stand on these steps and talk about, you know, John 18 and John 19, where Jesus is standing before Pilate and the back and forth that they had with one another. And so there were some steps that would parallel this wall, that they would go in and there would be a doorway. The doorway is sealed off now, but they would have come in and out through that doorway. And then we crossed over into Jordan, and I'm just about done. Thanks for hanging with me here. But I just got 2 places in Jordan that I want to highlight. We went to 3 or 4 different places, but this was on top of Mount Nebo in Jordan. And we're talking about right here near the Dead Sea on the Jordan side. Remember, the Jordan River separates Israel on the left, the country of Jordan on the right. And so we're close to the Dead Sea over here. Mount Nebo is where Moses would have been taken up and allowed to look over into the Promised Land before he went home to be with the Lord. And they have a replica of the serpent on the pole. That's what this structure is here. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And they've got that verse inscribed right below it on a little placard. And talking about Christ who died on the cross. And he is Zion. He is the promised land, as I said. He's the one that we focus on. So that's the olive tree right up on top of Mount Nebo. Now this is looking back. I'm getting all my villages confused. Anyway, let me go on one more picture. Yeah, there it is. Hashor. It's a village. You can't see down this picture, but it's way out here. So when Moses was 120 years old, he would have made this trek. Can you imagine hiking that many miles across this rugged terrain at 120 years old? Moses did it. He was strong and physically vibrant at 120 years old. He would have come from Hashor over here. This is where they were, walking across here to Mount Nebo, as God let him look into the promised land. And as he looked across, and I just began going around like this, looking across, and the Jordan River runs down through here. This is the valley down below where Moses would have been looking. On a clear day, you can tell how hazy it is, but on a clear day, they say you can see all the way to Jerusalem. And you can see that Mosque Omar, that golden dome in Jerusalem, you can see it shining in the sunlight from right here sometimes, on top of Mount Nebo. And this is, again, just panning back around. So I was looking over here and then panning around. This is the Dead Sea right here. The Jordan River comes into the Dead Sea. Now, you know, we were sort of joking around. If Moses was up here and he saw this, he'd be like, this is the promised land? It's just a bunch of dirt. What are you talking about, God? You know, but I think that, you know, there's a proof that there's a lot more water through here, and that means it would have been a lot greener as well. So I don't think it was quite as arid as all of this back then when Moses would have seen it. I think it was much more vibrant and much more beautiful as far as the landscape and the terrain goes. But it's just so expansive. Picture barely does it justice. It's just so, I mean, you can see literally all the way around you, and it's just a wide, wide valley, the Jordan River Valley all across there. And Moses would have seen this before going up into glory. And then we got to go way down south, even below where my map is here, down into Petra. And it's an iconic place. You can't see it from there, but tucked away over here is a little Indiana Jones store. They had a couple Indiana Jones stores there. I think it was Dan asking me, why didn't you buy one of those hats? I said, I should have. One of the guys did, but I should have borrowed it from him. But this is sort of the visitor center when you first walk into Petra. Now, they got all kinds of hiking trails. You could literally spend days here hiking in Petra if you wanted to. And this is the iconic place. And this was carved. They've got these, it's like a ladder that they carved, and they built scaffolding up here first, and they started at the top, and they carved their way down. And this is a treasury. I don't have time to get into all of it. I really, you know, again, I'd like to park and talk about it for a long time, but I won't. That's just a closer-up picture. This is the iconic structure in Petra. But this isn't the only structure in Petra. There's all kinds of carvings, all kinds of places. This has just become the icon for the village, of, ancient village of Petra. I got to do a teaching here. As you know, everybody has to take a selfie when you go to Petra, I guess, so I did that. There's a camel back. There's all kinds of camels. There's all kinds of people. This is a very hectic place. You ride down on these golf carts. If you pay extra money, you can ride these golf carts down so you don't have to hike it. It's about a mile hike. If you want to, you can. We had so much gear and stuff that we just decided to walk it. That was Joe. He was my roommate, and I was joking with my Sunday school class. I was surprised, you know, in Galilee at the hotel and in Jerusalem at the hotel, it had these two twin beds that were pushed together. Each time we're like, okay, we've got to pull these beds apart. So we rearranged the furniture and stuff. But they were on wheels so that you could pull them apart or push them together, stuff like that. But just unique how hotel rooms are there. But Joe was one of the film crew. He was my roommate. And so I got a picture of Joe. And they did a wonderful, wonderful job. Very professional guys, did a great job. And he took a picture of me at the same time. I was talking about Petra in History and Prophecy, which is a book that we have at Southwest Radio Ministries. And I did a Bible teaching there. And hopefully that'll be available very soon, and I can share that with you. So when you go around this way, just pan around to what would be our right, you see this canyon that goes on down there. And it looks very narrow right there, but it's actually pretty wide. And that's Matt riding a camel, getting his B-roll. That's his B-roll camera right there. And he would just film everything. So they said, let's get you on the back of a camel and let you film on the back of a camel riding down through here. And that was pretty cool. Great Christian guys. So this is down in that valley. All throughout here are these vendors that are selling. And they live in a village close by, so they leave each night and come back in the morning. Unfortunately, kids are dropping out of school because they can make $200, $300, $400 a day just getting camel rides and horseback rides and selling stuff. And so why do I need to go to school? I can make all kinds of money just giving people camel rides all day long up and down through here. So it's become a crisis there, really, for some communities and trying to encourage them to better themselves through education and things like that. So down through this valley, it opens back up. There's, again, some more carvings and rocks and things. This is an ancient amphitheater that was there in the city, or a theater, really. And some of the ancient ruins there. And so thank you again for praying for me. If you got questions, you can see me later. I don't want to take much more of your time. I know y'all have been patient with me through all this. But thank y'all very much for praying for us and for the whole team. And let me just lead us in a time of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful opportunity. And God, we would say on the trip, you know, here's our loaves and fishes. You know, it's just our small amount, and God, we just ask you to multiply it as you see fit. The projects that we were able to film is just an unexpected blessing, I thank you for my church family and their prayers for me and support for us as we got to go on this trip of a lifetime to see these places and to be able to share this with my family and friends here tonight is just so very special. And I pray that you would help us to understand how real this is, how real you really are, and that these things aren't just fairy tale, make-believe, storybook, but these events actually took place, and we can see the places and understand that history and archaeology continually are pouring forth speech and saying, look, here it is, here's the proof. And you're allowing us to just pull back the curtain a little bit. So I pray that tonight people's faith has been strengthened and that they can see that that you are the one true God of all heaven and earth and that you love us so much that you came to this world with all of its warts and bumps and bruises and mistakes and everything else. And you love us that way too, Lord. Thank you for your unconditional love, your mercy, your grace. God, I pray that we would go forward with a greater love for you in our heart than we had before. And thank you for reaffirming our faith in so many different ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Thank you all. Yeah. Amen. Praise God. Well, God bless you all, and have a good night.